Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Central Asia, colloquially known as the Stans during the Afghanistan War, what we're looking at is civilization city-states that are 3,000 to 4,000 years old and extremely important to the development of all of Eurasia. Today, however, the question's raised all the time. China and Russia, are they looking to reincorporate the Stans in their understanding of Eurasian power? Once upon a time, much of this, if not all of the territory, was under the Soviet boot, but that's gone. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we're very pleased to welcome Kamran Bokhari, our colleague. He's Senior Director of the Eurasian Security and Prosperity Portfolio at the New Lines Institute for Strategy and Policy. He's also a National Security and Foreign Policy Specialist at the University of Ottawa's Professional Development Institute, writing in the Wall Street Journal in anticipation of a meeting between principals, the Stans, and the President of the United States and his counselors in context of the UN. Kamran, a very good evening to you. The vision is that to join China and the markets of East Asia to Europe, you need to go through the Stans. The vision is that the Stans are right now ambitious with their natural resources and their populations. Is that a vision that's shared in Washington and in parts of Europe? Good evening to you, Kamran.
I think there is, but what we have here in the United States is a disadvantage of geography, which for the Chinese is not a problem because they have the geographic advantage. They have a head start. They tried to pull this region into their geoeconomic orbit right after these countries emerged out of the rubble of the Soviet Union in the 90s. In fact, the Chinese government at the time basically said, quote, we want to have or want to develop, quote, the new Silk Road, unquote. And so the Belt and Road Initiative that President Xi has been pushing since 2013 has its roots way back in the 90s. And so they do have the advantage. We do not. But yet the weakening of the Chinese economy, the massive downturn in the Chinese economy, as well as the war in Ukraine, have created an opportunity for the United States and its allies to better integrate this region into the global commons. And that's sort of the argument I'm making in this piece.
Gordon, you have a question for Kamran.
Kamran, we have the disadvantage of geography because we're not there. But in a sense, that's also an advantage because the United States doesn't have territorial claims, doesn't have designs of hegemony over the region. And it would seem to me that although we are not there, that might give us some opening in the sense that these countries don't want to be dominated by Russia. They don't want to be dominated by China either. And that means the U.S. can be sort of like an honest broker and also a lifeline.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more, Gordon. The disadvantage is there, but it's also an advantage in that we aren't seen by the states in this region, in Eurasia, as trying to, you know, extract their resources or to dominate them. In fact, if you look at the behavior of at least the Kazakhs and the Uzbeks, and I would add the Kyrgyz into this mix as well, they look at the United States and the wider West as providing something that neither the Chinese nor the Russians can offer, which is socioeconomic political development to build up resilience so that these countries can resist any efforts by Russia and China to pull them towards their side.
You observe that Astana, the capital of Kazakhstan, has a role or can play a role in Ukraine. How so, Kamran?
Well, look, John, the Kazakhs have been building up their diplomatic prowess for many years. Let's not forget that Astana was the venue for the Syrian peace talks that have been taking place in years past. The Kazakhs have also played a role as a major contributor to nuclear nonproliferation in the U.S.-Iran negotiations and the efforts to ensure that Tehran does not get a hold of nukes. And so they, and if you add in sort of their multi-vector foreign policy doctrine, they're ripe to be able to play that role in a settlement in Ukraine. They have relations with Russia, and they have the kind of relations that nobody else does. Russia needs them on their side. And the Kazakhs have also kept their distance, if you will, from the Kremlin when it comes to Ukraine. They have openly said, we will not recognize any absorption of Ukrainian territory into the Russian Federation. If you recall, Putin has already annexed parts of Donbass and Crimea. So I think they're best placed. They have a role to play. Certainly not the only ones. Turkey is there as well. But I think that the relationship that the Kazakhs have with the Russians, who are, by the way, a former liege of not just Kazakhstan, but the region itself, you know, offers them a lot of geopolitical purchase.
Gordon, you have a question for Kamran.
Kamran, you referred to the Chinese economic downturn affecting Beijing's relationship with the region. Before the Belt and Road program was one belt and one road, the belt was railroads and highways through Central Asia. How has that worked out for the countries in the region?
Well, I mean, it's worked out in the sense that if you look at Uzbekistan, so they have a railroad project that the Chinese have been helping them develop. So at that level, obviously, you know, the Uzbeks would welcome any Chinese help. But what the Uzbeks and everybody else do not want to, you know, see happen is that the Chinese take advantage of this assistance, exploit the region or any of the countries. They also do not want to sort of, you know, as the Russian footprint is receding, they don't want to lose the Russians only to land up in the lap of the Chinese, which is why they're very much interested in this relationship with the United States, with the European Union. And as I mentioned in my piece, the Trans-Caspian International Transportation Corridor, or route, also known as the Middle Corridor, popularly, is a key element in trying to connect this part of the world with not just the West, but the broader international community, because it's landlocked, and in the case of many countries, double landlocked.
The abandonment of Afghanistan, the departure from Afghanistan, the withdrawal from Afghanistan, is that a roadblock to better relations with the Stans? Afghanistan was part of the ancient network of cities, city-states, that dominated science and education and art thousands of years ago. Is that resented, how the U.S. left Afghanistan?
I'd say the word resented is a bit strong. They're definitely concerned. So, for example, you know, in my conversations with the Uzbeks and the Kazakhs, particularly the Uzbeks, because they have a direct border with Afghanistan that is now under the control of the Taliban emirate. They would like to see a more pragmatic approach to Afghanistan. So they recognize that it's not right to recognize, formally recognize the emirate because of its values, because of the way it has ruled the country, because of its links to international terrorism, because of its odious ideology. They recognize all of that. But they also say, look, they're here to stay. If the U.S. has pulled out, then we need to have some sort of a modus vivendi, internationally speaking, in order to manage Taliban-run Afghanistan. Otherwise, left to its own devices, it's a strategic vacuum radiating instability, you know, all around it. We're looking at, look at how Pakistan is in trouble, and the Central Asian states look at themselves and say, are we going to face a similar situation?
Gordon, less than a minute if you have a quick question.
So, Kamran, what is the relationship of the Stans with India?
So they would definitely, as a rising geoeconomic power, the Stans want a relationship with India. The problem is that they are far removed from India geographically. There's Afghanistan and Pakistan in between. And the route through which, the other potential route through which India can connect to Central Asia is through Iran. And in Iran is another can of worms that is not going to be solved anytime soon. So that's where we are right now.
Kamran Bukhari, Senior Director, Eurasian Security Prosperity Portfolio at the New Lines Institute for Strategy and Policy, writing in the Wall Street Journal about the upcoming meeting between the U.S. and the Stans of Central Asia. Gordon Chang, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.